February, each week I've tried to focus on the area of relationships. This passage speaks of a relationship. Relationship of mankind with God. And at this point, it's a broken relationship. What about your relationship with God? Do you and God get together often? Because that's what makes relationship, is when we share with one another and we share one another's company. How intimate is that relationship? Is it just kind of one of those surface relationships where you share a little bit, or do you share the deep concerns of your life back and forth? Let me ask you, in this relationship with God, have you been faithful? Have you been faithful in the relationship? We've come past the Christmas season. Do you remember the words of one of the carols we sang? It said, "Oh, come all ye faithful. Come all ye faithful." So is your relationship, can I ask you, is it better than it was last year this time? Has there been progress in that relationship? The gospel quartets will sing how it grows deeper and sweeter as the day goes by, and we have all those little thoughts. But is your relationship better than where you were last year? Have you taken a little relationship inventory with your walk with the Lord? And if perhaps it's not closer, it's not deeper, it's not sweeter, then shouldn't it be? Shouldn't it be? What do you think? I want to look for a few moments today, and I told Deborah yesterday, I said, I always have a challenge putting a title to things, but it came to me this week as I'm preparing. I want a relationship to last the ages. I want a relationship to last the ages. And that's what we want in our walk with God. A relationship that lasts not just for this life, but on through eternity. But this passage in Genesis speaks of a failed relationship. God's given them directives. Here it is, the Garden of Eden. You've got all of this that you can enjoy. All you need to do is stay clear of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. And along comes Satan in the person of a serpent. And he speaks to the woman. I always have a challenge with that. Most ladies I know are not good with snakes. You know, if the snake was there, drop down on it, it could be a little gardener snake. Not a big problem. But if you drop that at her feet, she's not going to be happy. And yet Eve's entered into a conversation with the serpent. And she's talking back and forth. And who is the serpent anyway? They know God. He is their creator. But she believes the serpent. You can go ahead and eat from this tree. And she believes the lie that's there. And through the course of her actions and Adam's actions, their relationship breaks down with God. To the point that it's sad. Because every day it seems that the habit of God was to come and meet with them. In the cool of the day, to walk in the garden with them. And they hid themselves. God calls to them, they hide. That happens to us sometimes at points in our lives when God calls to us and we know we're not in that right relationship with him, and we pull back and we hide. I hope that at times you think about your relationship with God. I really trust you do. And what is that relationship based on? I hit a point at 18 years of age where I had, I guess what you'd call a crisis of faith. Do I only believe this because my parents told me? No, my parents were good people. As far as I knew, they weren't telling me lies. But do I believe it because it's real to me or because of my parents' teaching and my upbringing? And I worked my way through. It helped that at that time I had a friend and he was asking the same questions. And we spent some time together looking at God's word and praying and asking God to make himself real to us. We wanted the relationship. We desired that. Oftentimes, in an attempt to explain a relationship with God, man falls back and relies on religion. Religion is the do's and the don'ts. Religion is the things that you can do, the things that you can't. It's not relationship. And what God comes to us is relationship. Lots of people, when you get into a conversation, if you move to the area of religion and spirituality, they'll say, well, what religion are you? What religion are you? And We fall back at times into a definition that speaks of spirituality or of emotions or traditions, life and death beliefs that we've been taught and trained, but they tend to mess us up because we define our walk with God and our relationship, what we call religion. We define it by the do's and the don'ts, by the rules. Religion leans heavily on man's efforts, on his own efforts to make himself righteous. You know that word righteous means right in God's eyes, means virtuous, moral, good, just, or blameless, righteous. Scripture in the New Testament says we are the righteousness of Christ, that through his gift of salvation, we live in a place of right relationship. A lot of people think that if they live well enough. Have you ever had a conversation with someone where you ask, what do you think happens when we die? When we get to the end of this life, you'll have some acquaintances that'll say, I think this is all there is. At the end, they'll put me in a casket, they'll put that in the grave, and they'll cover me over with earth, and I'm done. Other people will say, well, I think I believe in heaven. I think I'll go to heaven. I love asking the next question. When you get to heaven, and God's there at the gate, and he says, why should I let you into my heaven? What will you tell God? What will your line of attributes be? You know, well, I never killed anyone. I didn't rob a bank. I didn't do some of those awful things. And every once in a while, I cut the neighbor's grass. I was a good guy. And is that going to be enough? Man depends on his own efforts, the things that we can do. And yet you come back to the prophet Isaiah and he says, it's not by might and it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God of hosts. Anything we do comes up short. In fact, the scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come short of God's expectations and his desires for us. One writer said, lots of religious people hold firmly to all kinds of religious ideas, whether right or wrong, for all kinds of weak and apparently unfounded or at least unexplained reasons. Often it's tradition. We just follow, we keep walking in the same paths that we'd walked previous, and people before us had walked in that path and shown us the path and said, here, walk this way and you'll draw closer to God. And yet the God I read about in Genesis says he wants a personal relationship. He comes to the garden in the evening to walk with them, to share with them. I really think his first question was, so, how was your day? And he didn't need to ask that because he knows all things. But how was your day? Unlike religion, a relationship with God comes from his amazing love. It comes from his grace reaching out to us. It's always been God's desire to reveal himself to us right from the days, the first days of creation. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. What Paul's saying in his letter to the Romans is, you don't have a leg to stand on. There's no excuse here. God's made himself known to you. And in the beginning, God desired an everlasting, deep, loving relationship with mankind, with you and I. Sometimes a little more than what our minds can grasp, because the God of the universe, the God that's too big to contain, comes to live within our hearts and our lives and wants to be our friend, to be in relationship with us. We were created for relationship. And God chooses Adam, creates Adam, says, you're going to manage it. Here's the operation, you're the manager. And then he looks down and there's very telling words. My wife reminds me of these ones in the scripture every once in a while. God looks down and says, it's not good for man to be alone. That happens in a lot of circumstances. We're not good alone. I was reminded of something just last week and talked with someone. I said, when the weather was poor, my mother used to put us outside. It was pouring rain. You've got boots, you've got a raincoat, out you go. You're not going to sit in here all day. And that's back in the days when television was in black and white. I know some of you don't remember that. But and we had a half an hour. You watch half an hour of television. If left to my own devices, I would have had an intimate relationship with that television. I would have loved to spend time with the television. That was very enticing to me. But my mom would say, no, no, put on your coat and your hat and your boots and away you go. Mom, it's pouring rain. Go on, go find somebody, have some friends. Do something. My problem was I found out that the corner store would sell me that whole box of wooden matches for a few cents back in those days. You can have a whole afternoon of fun with a box of matches. And there was a day when the whole field behind our house lit up fire and my mom had to call my dad to come home from the office because he's lit the field on fire. And something else was on fire a little later because I felt the burn. But we went out and had friends. We went out and spent time with other people. You develop relationship. God built us for relationship. He looked down and said, the man's not good alone. I'm going to create for him woman. I always like the bit of verse that talks about she's not created from his head to be over, not from his foot to be under, but from his rib to walk beside. I like that picture. But Adam chose to reject and disobey God's command. And the ultimate reality here is that's a failed relationship. In the very early beginning of time, there's a failed relationship. God with his children. I want to talk about our relationship with God as a restored relationship because the scripture has a lot to say about that. Religion in itself, all of the trappings, all the things that people go through, it cannot restore the relationship with God. No human ritual or deed can provide the payment for our sins. That took Jesus. We know that. Jesus came to earth, lived as a man, experienced life and temptations and trials even as we do, and yet was without sin. And he paid the price of our sin and our debt with his own life's blood. No single human being, by our own efforts, can measure up to God's glory, but Jesus could. And it's almost as if Jesus stepped in and said, that's okay, I got this. When we were lost and without a way back to God, he said, I've got this. Let me help you out there. God desires that we share the splendor of his glory. And yet our sin was separating us from that. And we might ask, well, what does an all-powerful, supreme God long for a relationship with us, an imperfect, fallen human beings? Why would God want that? God chooses for us a very special purpose before creation. You read of it in Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. He said, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. And what God began in the past, he's going to be faithful to complete it. That's another passage. I'm going to say Philippians, but I'm a little lost on the correct address. But he who has begun a good thing in you will be faithful to complete it. God does that work through Jesus Christ. And he considers us his children, his family. God, in this relationship experience that we can have with him, he says, you're my kids. You're mine. And he values us as precious treasure. You read that through the scripture. We hold value to God. We're able to honor him with our bodies and our spirit. We were bought with a price, that precious blood of Jesus Christ. And through that, we are enabled then to have a relationship, and a relationship to last the ages with our God. Jesus Christ, his voluntary death on the cross, provided the power and the payment to redeem us from our sins. That's a restored relationship. That's a restored relationship. I want to talk to you about a personal relationship. But let me share with you an experience I've had. I thought about it this week. I've spent a lot of time in hospitals. A lot of time. Not just when I was younger and teased my sister to the point that she threw that garden tool at me and it opened up the back of my head. Not just that time. Not an industrial accident I had early in my apprenticeship and tore open a finger and they sent me off to the hospital. Not time, personal time through the birth of our children. Not even personal time when I sat in emergency at Renfrew for a few hours one day and waited to get a prescription filled. But time where I was there for someone else. I've spent a lot of time in hospitals. I've been there following up with parishioners who've been in for operations. I've been there to pray for the sick. I've been at hospitals to comfort accident victims and their families. I've waited with loved ones after the life support systems have been silenced, and you waited, and you waited. I've stood in the morgue with parents while they said their goodbyes. I've spent a lot of time in hospitals. Just recently, I stood in a hospital room, visiting someone of very senior years and their spouse at their side. And we shared some intimate moments, some very precious moments. Talked about the strong possibility of this person going home. And not just home in a physical sense, but home to their eternal home. And she said to me, "Pastor, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. If God says today, this is the day you're coming home, I'm good with that. I'm ready." And the longer she spoke, the more convinced I became in my own spirit of her relationship, her personal relationship with her Savior, Jesus Christ. It wasn't something she had to explain to me out of church doctrine or positioning. It wasn't something that she had written down and said, "Here, Pastor, read it." But it flowed out of her. It was her spirit that I was sensing. She knew Jesus, and she was waiting to go home and meet with him. And we spoke of life. We spoke of faith. We talked of hymns of the church. And as we did, she began to sing what she told me was her favorite hymn. With total disregard for the patient on the other side of the curtain and their six visitors that were in with them that afternoon. And in a wavering voice, she began to sing out, middle of that afternoon. And what she sang was this: "I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." I knew it was something precious that was happening, but I was very conscious of the people on the other side of the curtain, and conscious that it had now grown very quiet on the other side of the room. I thought she was done, but she took a few breaths, and she launched into verse 2. "He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." And the room was silent. It was as if the whole ward was silent, because it didn't seem in that moment of time that even the sounds of the hallway and the other business of the hospital made its way into the room. There was a holy hush in the room. There are times that you experience this, and you just know Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And it was precious. And it was sweet. You know what that is? That's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's not just someone in a nostalgic way singing an old hymn at the church. It was someone singing of their walk with their eternal friend and master, Jesus Christ. Walking into the future and eternity with their eyes wide open and no fear. No fear. Pastor, if he wants me to go today, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. What does that experience say to you? What does it say? I can tie it back to another thought that I have. Do you think that she's a windshield person or a rearview mirror person? She's looking out the windshield. She's ready to meet with Jesus. The rearview mirror is there for quick reference, but she was focused on what was ahead. An experience in the hospital room was a divine event for me. Something that divulged a very deep, loving, trusting, confident, personal experience with her God. And there was no doubt. And the hush lasted for some time and then was gone. And the folks on the other side picked up their visiting and their sharing. And it seemed then that all of a sudden the banging and the clashing and carts coming up and down the hallway of the hospital, that all started again. But for that brief moment of time, it was as if you were in the throne room and in the very presence of God. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for you, is that depth of a personal relationship with God. That when you walk through life and you face the different situations and circumstances, that personal relationship is there and you can lean on it. He's a friend that is more faithful than our own brothers. He's one that never leaves us or forsakes us. He's one that is strong in our place of weakness. And in our relationship with God, you find love, you find sacrifice, you find faithfulness, mercy, you find peace, you find joy, and oh, friends, you find eternity. You find eternity. Personal relationship with God begins with knowing His Son, Jesus Christ, His Lord Jesus Christ. And our earthly relationships change through the course of time. Things change, take a different form, our relationships change. But Jesus is changeless. The other little song says, Jesus never fails. He never fails. He's the same yesterday, today, He'll be the same tomorrow. There's not a whole lot in life that you can count on like that. But a personal relationship. So how are you and God doing? How are you doing? Where are you at in your walk? Have you done a little inventory recently? Are we stuck in the same spot we were last year? When you look at the progress, oh, really, I thought maybe I'd be a little further along. Are you taking steps to encourage that progress? Just a little talk with Jesus. I got a lot of songs going through my head today. But there's some truth to that. And I've told you before, I'm a firm believer in conversational prayer, back and forth with Jesus all through the day. I like to start my day at this altar and bowed for a period of time and just pray through the requests and the concerns, the community, the congregation. But for the rest of the day, sitting at my desk, eating my lunch, riding down Highway 41, seem to do a lot of that, I like to talk to the Lord. I like to talk to the Lord. Max Lucado was an author, a pastor who's written a number of materials. He has such a unique grasp on this relationship with God. One of his quotes is this: when God is all you have, then all you have is all you need. God's enough. But it's that personal relationship. It is very possible to know about God and not know God. I told you, spent some years in Brantford. I've met his father, Walter Gretzky. I've never met Wayne. I've been there when they said, oh, did you see Wayne? He was in town this week. Or I know about Wayne Gretzky. I don't know Wayne Gretzky. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, I can say, I know him. I know him. And there's an intimate relationship that, though broken in the Garden of Eden, was mended, paid for. We were reunited through Jesus Christ. There's a relationship today. Heavenly Father, as we've looked at your word and shared some thoughts today, I pray that the message stirs in people's hearts and thinking, that they would desire that closer walk with you, that their thoughts in any situation of life would be to pray first, to talk to your Heavenly Father. I pray for rich, beautiful, personal relationships with you, O God, because what I see through scriptures, that's what you endorse, that's what you make available, that's what you present to us, that's what you call us to. So I pray for your church, that you would bless each one. Father, you know the concerns of the week ahead. You know the challenges that we face. You know the burdens and the issues that weigh upon our hearts and our minds. But in every circumstance, you are more than enough. When God is all you have, Father, you're all we need. So I pray that you bless your people. Once again, I pray for Journeying Mercies as we travel, that the roadways would not be treacherous and difficult, but each one would find themselves at their destination safely today. Father, for those who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, maybe they have the religion part down, but haven't quite gotten to the relationship part, I pray that you would bring back to their remembrance that it's as simple as asking Jesus, "Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died for my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and into my life." That it's as simple as that, that we step from the outer courts into the inner place of personal relationship with you. Father, bless each one today. We ask in your precious, your holy name. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you for coming today. I know it was, you probably thought twice when you looked at the weather. And I know there's some challenges this winter. I said to someone, I really, really dislike having to cancel a service. And, when we did it a little while back, it was blizzard conditions, and I thought, I don't think anybody can see their way down the road, let alone make their way down the road. But, I'm glad you made your way here today. I hope the message sticks with you. I read this week that one of the greatest compliments you can pay to a pastor is not, "That was a nice message, I liked the sermon," but that something in that message changed the way I'm going to live. I hope that your relationship grows sweeter, that when you reach a hospital room like that little lady that I talked with this past week, you'd be able to sing of the walk that you have with the Lord. God bless you today.